Two peas in a bong. Two peas in a bong. Two peas in a bong.
Two peas in a bong.
Two peas and a bong.
All right, y'all, two peas in a bong in the building again. It's your boy DP.
It's your boy KP.
And a overly faded bong. What's happening?
Did Brady throw some fades for a touchdown?
I'm going to just hold it.
Don't do that, DP. You know,
I'm waiting for Bong to open his eyes.
Fresh off the heels of the Super Bowl.
Hey, and I'm good to go. My boy, I seen it. I saw it. I already saw the Mike Evans jersey. I'm gonna put it to you like this. Shout out to all the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that won a Super Bowl for the first time. And Ndamukong Suh, Mike Evans, AB, Chris Godwin, Cameron Brate, Devin White.
The hardest working man in football, man. You didn't mention
Lenny. Big Lynn. Leonard Fournette. You know, shout out to him, and he was busy tonight. You know, I give props to all the guys.
Your boys from North Carolina Central.
North Carolina Central, man. We had two players that former Eagles that won the Super Bowl. One played in the Super Bowl. The other one, I did not. I don't think he played in the Super Bowl, but he was on the roster. So, hey, man, you know, we smiled through the pain, and I'll take the win for North Carolina Central to Eagle alumni. I always love to see the black college coming up. So I'll take that. But at the end of the day, man, you know, it's still fuck Tom Brady, man, to the death of me. Like, you know, like as long as that motherfucker is still trying to play football, it's still fuck Tom Brady, like straight up and down.
So I want to give a special shout out to Antoine Winfield Jr. on getting his first Super Bowl in his first year in the NFL. I've known the Winfield family for a little while because they used to live in Minnesota, and I used to coach Antoine's baby brother, Ethan Winfield. Him and my oldest son played on the same basketball team, and then they played on the flag football team together. So shout out to the Winfield family. Antoine Sr., unfortunately, he never made it to the Super Bowl, but I know he's living it up right now because his son got him a ring in his first season in the NFL.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
This is coming fresh off the heels of our last episode, too, where we had the discussion on the Super Bowl predictions, and we also had this Tom Brady, is he the GOAT discussion, right? So I'll just keep it simple, man. Did this change anybody's mind about anything that was said before in the last episode to now after this the outcome of this game?
In the words of Jay-Z, what more can I say? Nah, it didn't change anything, man. It just kind of solidified it. Put the damn stamp, the bow, whatever you want to call it. Just kind of put the ribbon on it. You know, it was an interesting stat that stuck out to me. They went through all the NFL franchises and at the top that won Super Bowls. And at the top of the list were the New England Patriots with 6 Super Bowls. But you know who has more Super Bowls than the New England Patriots? That would be Tom Brady with 7. So he's got more Super Bowls than any other NFL franchise. We're not talking about player right now. We're talking about franchise. And to piggyback on your, you know, to go back to the discussion that we had last week where, you know, Umam was talking about Peyton Manning being the GOAT and, you know, winning a Super Bowl with another team. Well, Tom Brady did it too. So now Peyton's not the only one that has Super Bowls with multiple teams starting at quarterback.
So to answer your question, DP, as Kev would say, what more can I say? You know, the same thing that I said last week came to fruition this week. The Tampa Bay defense, who will still, in a win, get no credit, held the Kansas City offense to 9 points. But Tom Brady, Tampa Bay, got the credit. You know, they scored points, but nobody will talk about the fact that the Tampa Bay defense held Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Tyreek Hill to 9 points. Nine points. That has nothing to do with the Tampa Bay offense. Has everything to do with the Tampa Bay defense. But again, because everybody's ready to paint, you know, this picture and this narrative of Tom Brady's the GOAT, we're going to give Tom Brady the credit when Tom Brady, in actuality, 200 yards passing, he was pedestrian at best. He was complimentary. What he did not do was fuck up the game. Hey, listen, we got this thing in the headlock on the defense. What we ask you to do is don't fuck it up. Tom Brady played a safe game. He did what he had to do, and ultimately they won the game, but it wasn't on the offense. It was on the defense. And again, I doubt that we'll hear anything about Todd Bowles. I doubt that we'll hear anything about the defense and how strong they were. Kansas City would probably be regarded as one of the top two or three offenses in the NFL right now.
Definitely.
They didn't score a touchdown.
Right.
That has nothing to do with Tom Brady. They did not score a touchdown in the biggest game of the Super in the biggest game of the year with 2 weeks to prepare for the game. They put up a zero when it came to touchdowns, and they got in the red zone multiple times. They came away with field goals. And I think one time when it was a do or die situation, they turned it over on downs. So again, in the game, when it really counted most, the Tampa Bay defense was stout in the red zone. It was a bend not break defense, and they didn't give up any touchdowns to the top wide receiver and the top tight end in the NFL this year. Sorry.
To paint even more of a clearer picture from what Ubang was just saying, Mahomes passed for 270 yards, no touchdowns, two interceptions. Most of his yards came to Kelce. You know, they were giving Kelce the opportunities. They kind of honed in on Tyreek Hill. I know we mentioned him as being an X factor. He caught 7 passes for 73 yards, right? Hardman didn't really do much. I know Ubang mentioned him stepping up and doing some big things throughout the season. Didn't step up in this game. He had 2 catches for 4 yards. Collectively, they barely eclipsed the 100 yards rushing. Edwards-Helaire had 64 yards total, and that's off of 9 carries. Next leading rusher after that was Pat Mahomes with 33 yards. Patrick Mahomes, you know, his moms wants you to put that trick on the end of it. But the Buccaneers, man, Leonard Fournette did have a good game. I know we mentioned 2 cats. We said Sammy Watkins might not play and Antonio Brown might not play, right? They both played. And Antonio Brown, whom Ubang mentioned last episode and said, he's one of those Steelers who might get a chance to get a Super Bowl ring outside of Pittsburgh. He did just that, and he caught a touchdown. So he was a contributor in this game. Went from being questionable to actually, you know, catching a touchdown pass in the game. But I'll say this and then just kind of turn it back over to y'all. I was watching this game, right? While I'm watching, I got that vibe from last episode. I said I agreed with what Ubang was saying about the defense. And I'm sitting up here like, this defense, and I sent y'all a message saying that if the defense don't gas out, that the Chiefs will be in trouble because they were putting it on them. The defense, to me, is the reason why they won this game. And I knew that at the end of the day, it would be all hell Tom Brady, giving Tom Brady the credit.
Say it again. No. DP. I'm sorry. DP. Let me interject. I just want you to say it louder for people in the back. Say it louder for the people in the back, my brother. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
No, and this was real. Like, I'm sitting up here, I'm watching, and I'm like, I hate the fact that at the end of this, it's just going to be Tom Brady talk. You know, like, who expected Kansas City to come into that game and not score a touchdown? Not one. Three field goals, man? Come on. Come on, man.
Hey, man, they got a little soft, man. They man, they were getting beat off. I understand that they had to shuffle linemen around. So that was a problem. Mahomes was running for his life, and then he was making some miraculous throws, and the receivers is taking balls to the face. Pause. How many touchdowns did they miss because the ball hit them in the face mask? It was like two of them. It was one in the first quarter, and then it was one in the third quarter. But they clearly could have gotten in the end zone and should have gotten in the end zone. It was the miraculous throw where Mahomes was falling, sidearmed the ball about 30 yards, sidearmed it, hit the receiver right in the face mask. Unbelievable, man. The effort that he played hard, man. He played hard. And it was unfortunate, but I knew that Tom would win. It goes for a good NFL story. The storyline of Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay, leaving Tampa Bay, you know, not being in the playoffs for a long time, having these weapons, and then being the first city to host the actual Super Bowl where their team made it. Yeah, that's a script written out only for Tom Brady. Rob Gronkowski coming out of retirement and catching two touchdowns.
I said that 2 weeks ago. I said that a week ago. NFL is about storylines. Tampa Bay making the Super Bowl makes a good storyline. Going into the fourth quarter, the penalties were, I think, either 9 or 10 to 1. Kansas City had been called for 10 penalties. Tampa Bay had been called for 1. Now, once the game became out of hand, Tampa Bay got called for about 3 or 4 more penalties, so that if you're just glancing through the Monday morning paper, you'll say, okay, Tampa Bay, they got called for 5 penalties. Kansas City got called for 10 penalties. They were a little sloppy. But when the game was in hand, Tampa Bay was not penalized by the referee, and Kansas City, they were penalized on, like, pivotal plays, big time plays. You're talking about interception that turned into a touchdown. You're talking about, I think the interception ended up becoming a turnover on downs. So let me take that back. But you're talking about plays that they were called for penalties where it was third down and Kansas City is ready to get off the field and it extends the plays and they turn into touchdowns.
Wait, I don't know, Ubang. Wait, I think you might be right about your first thought about the interception. I think they scored on that one, right? Because didn't they stopped them, then they were going to go for the field goal, and then they called offsides, and that extended the drive. That was the same drive, right?
They called three penalties.
That was the offsides. The offside, 4th and 5, they called offsides on a play that I'm pretty sure they could call offsides on every team, on every play on 4th down, the way they line up. But they chose to call it in the biggest game of the season. And I'm sure if you really line the cameras up the way they were lined up, you can call that every single play. But again, I'm not here to cry over spilled milk. Tampa Bay got the win. I'm happy for a bunch of guys on the Tampa Bay team that got a win for the first time. To say that I am not thrilled with Brady is an understatement, but it is what it is. You know, he's going to ride off into the sunset as the great white hope. And, you know, he's a Trump supporter. You know, he is linked to the billionaire owner.
Who, Kraft?
Yeah, Robert Kraft. He's linked with the billionaire owner, Robert Kraft. He's close friends with Donald Trump. He is the great white hope. You know, And again, all hail to Tom Brady, because that's the narrative that we want to put out there. So it's a sad day for, you know, football fans in general. It's a great day for the NFL because the NFL can write a hell of a story. I think between the day that Tampa Bay beat Green Bay and today, Tom Brady had the top selling jersey in the NFL. Like, it's a great story, right? It's a great story. The 43-year-old that nobody gave a chance, he goes and resurrects a team that's 7-9 the year before and leads them and rides them into the playoffs. No hope, no mention of the defense, no mention of the fact that Tom Brady only threw for 300 yards one time in the entire playoffs. Like, he threw for 200 yards, guys. He didn't fucking overwhelm in the Super Bowl. He was a game manager. The defense said, don't turn the ball over and we got this. And that's what he did. But again, I'm just an angry black man and I've been drinking. So don't mind me. I'll turn it over to Kev.
Oh, shit.
Those are valid points. I don't take anything away from the defense. I thought the defense was incredible. They were. But when you look at it, there has not been an NFL team that has put up 30 or more points in four consecutive games in the playoffs until tonight. Tampa Bay did that. So as great as the defense has been, whether we say that Tom Brady has been pedestrian, whether we say that he's been just managing the offense, well, the offense is striking and they're putting up points.
Kev, if the defense puts the ball on the 10-yard line and you punch it in for seven, are we saying, hey, the offense did a hell of a job, or the defense basically set you up to where you could not lose? A majority of these games, the defense set Tampa Bay up with short fields and they cashed in. And again, remember my argument the last time we spoke about this. I don't want to, because I'm a fan of the sport, I can't put my credibility on the line and say Tom Brady is a nobody, because it's not reality. Tom Brady is somebody that is a master of situational football. I don't have to make every play, but if you put me in position to make plays, give me a short field, you say, hey, Tom Brady, here's the ball. You only have to march 30 yards to score a touchdown. I'm going to cash it in. I'm not leaving it up to chance. I can respect that. That's a sign of greatness. But to say that he's the greatest quarterback ever, or that he is the most talented quarterback ever, as the white folks would say, that's hogwash. And I'm not buying it. I'm sorry. I can't. I just can't. I'm sorry. I won't do it. Tampa Bay defense is the biggest reason for their win today. And you have not heard, and you likely will not hear anything about anybody on the defensive side, because this will be yet another celebration of what Tom Brady is and what he's doing in Tampa Bay. And that's facts. 200 yards on the day. And it's a celebration for Tom Brady. Pop the bubbly.
I hear what you're saying. I do. But, and as I say, whether he managed it, whatever, he delivered. And guess what? You can give a short field to all the quarterbacks in the league. That doesn't mean that all of them are going to come through and deliver and get you a touchdown. It's just not going to happen. Tom Brady will. And he's shown that throughout the course of these playoffs. That's a sign of greatness.
Hey, man, fuck Tom Brady.
Check this out, Kev.
You got to give credit where it's due, but, you know.
Check this out. I watched a play where Tom Brady ran down into Tyrann Mathieu's face, talking shit. Tyrann Mathieu is on the defensive side of the ball. Tom Brady comes and confronts him, gets in his face talking shit, and somehow Tyrann Mathieu walks away with a 15-yard penalty for unsportsmanlike conduct. That goes to show you the type of game the referees were told to call. Hey, listen, if it's anything except Tom Brady for the win, we don't want to hear that shit. We'll make it look good. And again, I think the NFL is no different than WWE. I've been on record as saying it appalls me that the NFL is more of WWE And somehow the Cowboys, the biggest brand in the NFL, still can't make it to the Super Bowl in a league that I know is rigged. I know that it's about storylines. This is the biggest franchise, the biggest fan base in the NFL, and somehow they can't make it to the Super Bowl in a league that I know is more WWE than reality.
Let me tell you why. It's because the Cowboys are still doing that Hulk Hogan leg drop that nobody want to see. Nobody want to see no more. They got Jerry Jones.
When this ain't the 80s. For some,
right.
This ain't the 80s.
Let me do this, though. Let me do this. Let me run down the... Kevin, you still going. Let me run down the roster for y'all, Tampa Bay's roster. And when I say roster, I'm talking about the coach's roster, all right? So, and this is why I was torn in this game. I'm going to just throw out some names. Harold Goodwin, Todd Bowles, Byron Leftwich, Keith Armstrong, Mike Caldwell, Antoine Randall-L, Larry Foote, Roger Kingdom, Todd McNair, Casey Rogers, Kevin Ross. These are all black folks, black men, right? And the first guys that I named are the top guys, you know, after the head coach. These are the coordinators. So similar to what I'm assuming Deuce Staley may be doing in Detroit, Harold Goodwin is an assistant head coach, and he's the run game coordinator. Then, of course, Todd Bowles, who Ubon has been shouting out, you know, since last week, defensive coordinator. Byron Leftwich is the offensive coordinator. And then Keith Armstrong is a special teams coordinator, right? So you got the most diverse coaching staff in the game. Not to mention that there's two women on the staff also, right? So you got Lori Locus, who's an assistant defensive line coach, and then you have Morale Javadafar, and she's an assistant strength and conditioning coach, right? So you ain't gonna see a coaching staff like this on any other team in the NFL. So
can I cut you got off now?
To give
can yeah, I cut you
ahead.
Off now?
Go ahead.
I'll say this. If one of whoever, I don't even give a fuck what the names you mentioned just now. If any of those people sign a head coaching gig, holla at me. But until then,
yeah, that's where I'm
hold on, DP. Let me
No. That's where you cut me off, but you didn't let me.
I know, but I cut you off because I want to make it perfectly clear where I stand. I don't give a flying fuck about how many offensive line, how many offensive coaches or defensive coaches or assistant training coaches or whatever the fuck they have. I don't give a fuck how many they got lined up, because the only credit is going to Tom Brady, and secondarily is going to Bruce Arians. Byron Leftwich isn't going to be a head coach next year. He probably won't be a head coach in the next 5 years. These women that you met, yeah, they won't be head coaches in the next 5 years, right?
Now, can I cut you off and finish what I was saying?
Do your thing, player.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Now, ain't no other team got black folks on there like that. So, number one, you can't sit up here and shout out Todd Bowles as a black defensive coordinator and then say you don't give a fuck. I give a fuck. And that goes to my point to where I was getting to, where I was heading is before I even sent you guys a message, before the game, they had this build up and this talk about there not being black coaches in the NFL, right? And I asked you guys, were you actually watching the intro? And they were trying to act like they were all in on this, you know, this tip of there needs to be more black coaches and all of this other stuff. They have Viola Davis doing this little monologue kind of intro sort of thing that they were talking about the history of the Coliseum out here in the African-American community and bringing football to Los Angeles when the Cleveland Browns moved and the Cleveland Rams moved and became the LA Rams and started playing in the Coliseum. And then they signed Kenny Washington, who was the first black man to sign in the modern era. But all of this is what I'm saying. you look at that staff, and this is why I do give a fuck, is because you look at that staff and you're not going to see, like I was saying, you're not going to see another staff in the NFL like that with all these black folks on it, right? That should show you. It's another testament to the fact that black folks know the game, can coach the game, and should be able to get these head coaching opportunities. So while I'm sitting up here and I'm saying shout out to all those folks who were involved and all the black folks who were involved, yes, Ubang, I agree with you that if they don't get coaching jobs, if they don't get head coaching jobs, Todd Bowles had one in with the New York Jets and he wasn't given an opportunity to really build and show what he could really do. They pulled the rug off from under him really quickly, but we've talked about how they do with black folks anyway. But if they do not give these people an opportunity, you have Eric Bieniemy with the Kansas City Chiefs also. It's a crying shame to see that, you know, you have all these people who, the majority of the people who play are black folks. You know what I'm saying? The majority of the league, black folks. These people who are coaching and are assistants, the head coach gets the credit, right? Ubon, the same way you said Tom Brady's getting the credit, but the defense is grinding and putting in the work, right? Bruce Arians is going to get the credit, yes, as you said. But look at his staff. He ain't doing it by himself, and all these black people have their hands in the mix in this shit, and they are absolutely a part of the reason why they're doing this shit. And again, so that shit that they had in the beginning, the buildup that they were trying to do in the beginning and singing the Black National Anthem and all of that shit, I was kind of like, yeah, I hear you, but miss me with that. Like, really do some shit. Hire some motherfucking black head coaches. And then it's going to be like, okay, now you're doing something. But singing the Black National Anthem and talking about how it ain't enough black coaches and shit, that's not enough.
I want to say an interesting fact. So let's first talk about the history. Another point of history that was made in the Super Bowl was there was a woman that refereed the game. Her name is Sarah Thomas. So shout out to Sarah Thomas for being the first female referee to officiate in the NFL Super Bowl, an NFL Super Bowl game.
Kev, do you think it was political? And I'll go sit back down on my little bench as you answer the question. Thank you.
Okay. So first off, I know it was political. It's very political. You know, the NFL is, they're commercialized, so they're following the trends of the global movement. Interesting thing about Sarah Thomas. She's married, has three children. One of her children, her son, first name Brady, last name Thomas. Thomas Brady. In reverse. So,
oh shit.
Is that coincidental that her son's name is Brady Thomas and Tom Brady's in the Super Bowl?
Kev, you know, I'm not going to be Mr.
Conspiracy Theorist.
Conspiracy theory, but what I will say is this, and I apologize, in my background, I have a little bit of a post-Super Bowl party going on because at the end of the day, in a black household, we don't give a fuck about who the winner or loser is. We're going to turn up regardless. So I'm going to put that out there.
Oh, shit.
But what I'm going to ask you is, do you think any of these assistant coaches, offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, strength and conditioning coaches, do you think any of these people on the Super Bowl roster will get a head coaching position next year? And I'll preface that by saying Eric Bieniemy won as the offensive coordinator last year, and he still could not get a job over a guy that was telling the Detroit Lions players that he was going to, if they lost games, they were going to bite off kneecaps, right? So, again,
no, right.
I'll take the symbolic victories, whatever it is. Hey, you had a female referee. You know, this year was the same year that we had a female referee in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl for the first time. It was the first time this season that we had an all-black referee crew. Do you remember how they made a big deal out of that shit? It's all symbolism. We had a all-black referee crew for the first time ever. The NFL put their hand in there to make that, you know, it's like a tap dance for y'all. Like, hey, here's a shiny toy over here, guys. Don't pay attention to all the other bullshit that's going on. But here's a shiny toy. We have.
That was the whole pregame.
Exactly. Black refereeing crew, a full black refereeing crew. Black people be happy about that. That's progress. That's advancement. And they played it up when in actuality, it wasn't shit. I don't give a fuck until a nigga like Eric Bieniemy is coaching a football team in the Super Bowl, not being the offensive coordinator who gets deferred to when everything goes wrong, but gets no credit when things go right.
Right. But
symbolism. I don't give a
absolutely
fuck about the female strength and conditioning coach. I don't give a fuck about the female. Somehow her title is offensive coordinator and she coaches the safeties and some bullshit like that. Listen, until you give me some substance, all that other shit is symbolism and I'm not buying that shit. So fuck all that shit. It's still a white man's world. And that's why Tom Brady had to go out on top. He had to leave New England. And we had to put him in a position where he was going to go out on top. I don't care how you look at it, whether you're a conspiracy theorist or not.
No, and then I'll say this, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I'll say this, too. And the reason why I'm breaking it down and telling you and naming all the black folks on that coaching roster is because, number one, if we don't do it, who will?
Yeah.
Ain't nobody going to talk about their contributions. Ain't nobody going to shout them out. So it's almost like when you say support a black business, if we don't support our own people, who will? So that's why I give a fuck to sit up here and say, like, these are all the people on this coaching roster. And to point out, to couple that with the fact that I think that it was a Bojangle bullshit pre-show situation where it's like we trying to set you up to make you feel like, you know, the NFL was conscious and the NFL was woke. And, you know, I wasn't feeling it, man. That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, the DP knows how to pull at my heartstrings, man. You know, I am 100% conscious when it comes to the bullshit and how, again, because the NFL is a league about storylines and, you know, pulling at people's heartstrings, they can set it up to make you see things that really don't exist. And yeah, you know, they made it about black equality again. The Super Bowl every year falls in Black History Month. So when they speak about whatever it is they speak about during the Super Bowl, they have to mention Black History Month because the Super Bowl falls in February. The NFL is conscious of that. But at the end of the day,
I need
to show you who the dominant guy is. You know, I don't think any plays or any calls were made in the favor of Patrick Mahomes. Outside of that, I believe his offensive line and not having his left tackle, a Pro Bowl left tackle, truly, you know, we saw the importance of an offensive line. He was on the run. And even though he was on the run, I swear he made some unbelievable throws, bro. He made some unbelievable throws and still put the ball in motherfuckers' hands out of weird positions, and his receivers let him down. But again, you know, that's why I will never side with Brady, because I think he's never done anything extraordinary. They've never put an offense on his back and said, hey, Tom Brady, if you don't win for us, we won't win. Because every time I've seen Tom Brady in that situation, the two times he played against the Giants, we need you to come out and win a game for us. He couldn't take it home. When he played against the Philadelphia Eagles, we need you to take it home for us, Tom Brady. It's not going to be just a, you know, set up Vinatieri for a winning field goal, and that's what it is. He could not take it home. Tom Brady is not a supreme quarterback. But again, as a historian, as a scholar of the sport of football, I cannot. Something inside me will not allow me to take the credit away from Tom Brady. I can't hate on this nigga. The fact of the matter is he may be the greatest game manager in NFL history. If you give him a defense, if you give him a top five defense, he will manage the fuck out of the game and make sure that he does not give the game away. Aaron Rodgers 2 weeks ago showed that if he was put in a position where he had to win a game, he couldn't do it. Before that, Drew Brees showed that he, if he was given the opportunity to win a game for you, he couldn't win it. These motherfuckers threw games away, and Tom Brady on the other side of the football every single time was calm, cool, and collected. Never made a play that really, you know, threw away the game. He always seemed to make the right play at the right time. He took advantage of short fields. Those are things that I won't take from him. I'm not a hater. I'm watching the game, and I see that Tom Brady is doing certain things, but I just refuse. As a black man in America, I refuse to get his motherfucking full credit for winning the Super Bowl when it was a black man's defense and a black defense that won that Super Bowl for him. Point blank, period.
Right, and I can't knock him for what he did in the game. You know what I'm saying? He did what he had to do, and I can't. If you break it down in that part of you that's saying that you can't not give him credit is because, you know, you're not being irrational about it. So if you're not speaking irrationally, yeah, you're going to break stuff down. You're going to give credit where it's due. I mean, the man is a, whatever you want to call him, a game manager, a leader of men, whatever the fuck y'all was saying about the dude. He's winning. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, he's the quarterback. Those are the motherfuckers who get the glory at the end of the day, those and the head coaches. And he keeps winning. So, yes, he keeps winning. That's the part. That's the regular shit, the regular smegular. You're looking at the game. Cool. Are you not entertained? You watching that. Okay, fine. That entertains you. Pull back them layers, though, is what I'm saying. Break the shit down. Even if you know, X's and O's, who's doing this, who's doing that, you know, and then look at all of the pieces that play a part in it, not just the quarterback, not just the head coach. And yeah, it's a fucking shame that none of those black people that we named are going to be head coaches next year. It is a shame. And the NFL should be ashamed for conjuring up that bullshit that they put at the beginning of the show to make it feel like that's the way that they moving towards including black people as head coaches and shit. Get the fuck out of here.
Right. They made Amanda Gorman come up there and give a poem and write a poem about motherfuckers that overcame adversity, and it was just so heartfelt, and they were just pulling at the, you know, at the heartstrings of the viewing public. And it was just like, oh my gosh, we have this black girl up here. She's so young and she's so vibrant and she's so pretty, you know, like, let America ring free. Like, I'm not buying that shit, you know.
Man, who was it? It was it Boomer Esiason or Phil Simms? I don't know which one it was.
It looked like two.
But yeah, right. So he says, I think it was Phil Simms. And he's like, you know, all of these things that get you going. And whether you sing the national anthem or whatever you play, because they had just sang the black national anthem.
Right.
Right.
Hey,
they gonna piss black folks off, and they gonna be like, if y'all don't get this black shit out of here,
hell, earth and heaven ring. Get the fuck out of here. Y'all still got that shit. Y'all motherfuckers better. I'm coming out with my solo album, nigga. What's my nigga?
I can roll with you. Let's go. What you want to do?
Hey, what's the DP? What's my nigga for the five heartbeats?
Let me see your best combination. Just like I thought. That ain't shit.
I had to hit him with a move. I hit him with like two or three moves too. Hey Cam, go ahead, man. You can close it out about your boy TB12, man, because you were ringing the alarm for TB12 all year, and you had TB12 winning that shit, and this was before the game started. This is coming into this week. You had TB12 as the as the greatest quarterback of all time, having one of the better quarterback seasons of all time this year, just by, you know, coming to a new team and acclimating himself to a position where he could do what he did and ultimately win the Super Bowl MVP. So I want to give you the final thought on this shit and just, you know, speak your mind as to, you know, your truth and what you saw, you know, that made TB12, you know, a six-time what a seven-time winner in the NFL.
So before I answer that, I just want to say something about the you know, the shenanigans that the NFL pulled. It's only going to intensify next year. You know, Goodell and his associates and the people that he talks to and consults with, they're high-fiving each other like, yeah, I think we did it. I think we pulled it off. I mean, even up
there, you did see him kicking it with Russell Wilson and Sierra, right?
Yeah, like he's playing the part. He's sitting next to the black folks upstairs, a black power couple. So yeah, it's gonna intensify and look forward to be more shenanigans next year. But to answer your question as far as the you know, the stuff with Brady. You know, I just saw it because each year, each offseason, when Brady was reporting to New England, it was a question like, is Brady going to report? Brady and Belichick aren't on the same page. And then they show up and it's like, oh, I guess they are on the same page. You know, it was stuff with Brady's quarterback coach. His quarterback coach wasn't able to travel with the team. It was just all kind of stuff back and forth. So it seemed like it was a thing of, well, what's Belichick going to do without Brady?
Kev, not to cut you off, but it wasn't his quarterback coach that wasn't allowed to travel with the team. It was his outside guy, his TB12 guy, that Bill Belichick said, okay, guy, enough. And you're bringing Julian Edelman, you're bringing Gronkowski over to TB12, and now you're having them train based on pliability as opposed to whatever we normally do. So, you know, there's a potential to not be aligned with what the team is doing. So, you know, hey, we don't want that guy traveling with us. So it wasn't the quarterback coach. It was some guy that was not a part of the team. Bill Belichick did not sign off on. I just want to clarify that.
No, it was his personal quarterback
coach. Whatever you want to call him. He was not the quarterback's coach because he didn't coach the other quarterbacks. He was a guy that was on Tom Brady's staff that was separate than the New England Patriots. Let's clarify that.
When I was saying it, I meant Tom Brady's personal quarterback coach that he worked with personally, not through New England.
Right, so Brady's personal, somebody that works with Tom Brady, but don't call him a quarterback coach because he just coached Tom Brady. And he's not even coaching him. He's training him, right? He was training him, and his thing was pliability, right? You know, I'm keeping Tom as pliable as possible. And, you know, we're focusing on eating avocado ice cream to, you know, strengthen and lengthen his career in the NFL. It wasn't that he was a quarterback coach. He was Tom Brady's personal trainer. So let's call him what
Brady's bitch.
Right. He was Tom Brady's bitch. I don't think he was Tom Brady's bitch because Tom Brady was paying him $5 for doing whatever the fuck he did. But what I'm saying,
man,
is
some dudes pay that bitch $5, man.
It was he was Tom Brady's bottom bitch. That's my bottom bitch right there, baby. She ain't going nowhere, you know? So,
again,
I understand Tom Brady and the fact that we have to celebrate him for what he was able to do and what he's been able to do in the NFL. 10 Super Bowl appearances, 7 Super Bowl wins. You know, you can't, that's a resume that you can't scoff at. But what I will say is, I can't give him credit. Find the Super Bowl of the 7 Super Bowl wins. Find the one that you can say, boy, if it wasn't for Tom Brady, they not winning this shit. And I challenge you to find
against
one.
Atlanta.
He was complimentary. Great. You can give him the Atlanta Super Bowl, but they were up 28-3 and in the third quarter. And guess what happened? They never scored again. So Tom Brady, if you continue to score, hold on. If Atlanta is scoring 28 points in the third quarter and you can just, you know, just average out over the rest of the time that they're playing what they should score, they didn't score another point and they had half of a third quarter, they had a full fourth quarter, and they had an overtime period. They never scored again. You can give Tom Brady the credit if you so choose, but I have to be inclined to give Bill Belichick and that defense a credit for holding Atlanta to 0 points in the second half of the third quarter, the entire fourth quarter, and overtime. Can we do that? Or is it on Brady? I'm going to ask you again, Kev. Did Brady line up on free safety in pop like he was playing Pop Warner? Did he line up on both sides of the ball? or did the defense make stops and give him the ball back?
Ubon, you can't have it both ways. Right now, you're trying to have it both ways. First, you're like, the defense stopped him from scoring. They had 28 points at the end of the third quarter, and they didn't score in the fourth quarter. What about the first three quarters? What about the fact that they were down 24 points and they came back? Somebody had to engineer it. It wasn't the defense engineering it. It was Tom Brady in the offense.
Kev, I just told you.
We're
not playing a game of ifs, right?
You said find a game where Tom Brady orchestrated a win with the offense in the Super Bowl, and it wasn't the defense. How are you going to say that wasn't the offense when they came back down 24 against the Atlanta Falcons?
Because Patriots defense held them to 0 points. Once they got 28, they didn't score again for the entire game, including an overtime period. You can't give Tom Brady full credit for that without giving the defense credit.
So if the defense
you can't give them credit for scoring without giving the defense credit for holding them to 24 points. Because let's just say if the defense holds them to 7 points, right? Atlanta wins that game. If they give up 7 points, if they give up one more touchdown, New England only won the game by 4 points. If they give up one more touchdown, New England loses that game. They shut these motherfuckers down.
Ubon.
Can we agree on that?
Ubon.
Okay.
If Tom Brady doesn't score enough points offensively, they're not even back in the game. Whether the defense holds them to zero or not, the defense could have held them to zero, and Tom Brady only got one. They only threw for a touchdown or scored one touchdown. It wouldn't have mattered.
That would be an indictment on Tom Brady.
It's a solidification. It's solidifying Tom Brady. They were down and came back. They were down in the first place. The defense gave up 28. That's why they were down.
Tom Brady only scored 3. That's why they were down.
Okay, and then what ended up happening? The offense ended up outscoring the other team's offense.
How? Because the defense ended up holding the other team's offense to 0 points. The defense ended up giving up a fucking donut for the rest of the game. So, if you want to say, hey, New England's defense gave up 28, I will tell you that the counter to that is that New England's offense scored 3 points. So, now, when you give me the bullshit about Tom Brady won the game, I'm going to tell you that New England's defense held that same fucking team to 0 points for the rest of the fucking game in the overtime. I don't want to hear shit about Tom Brady because he doesn't do shit exclusively. He is not a quarterback that a team relies on him individually. He is a complimentary piece to any team he's ever been on. He has never been relied upon to win a game. You name me a quarterback that has done what he has done and got the credit that he's gotten, where you have only had to be a complimentary piece. Most of your Super Bowl wins in New England, you have never had to score a game-winning touchdown. Matter of fact, I can say that with honesty, I can say that he has never had to score a game-winning touchdown in any Super Bowl he has won.
So, Ubon, so you said that they had 3 points going into the fourth quarter, right? They had 3 against Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
3 points.
Atlanta had 28 points in midway through.
New England had 3, though, right?
I don't know how many they had going into the fourth. I know that they were down 28-3 midway through the third.
Okay, 28-3. So then in a quarter and a half, so in the third quarter, all of the fourth quarter in overtime, Tom Brady put up points. So, yeah, we could say that he stunk in the first half, but he turned that shit around in the second half.
And hey, we could say the defense gave up 28 in the first half.
No, not the first half.
They turned that shit around in the second half. Not
the first half.
Anything you say about Tom Brady to give him credit, I can give you the counter for the defense.
Nah.
They came together.
I mean, listen, I don't like to argue for Tom Brady, man. I'm going to say that. I do not like to argue for Tom Brady. I know you're a Pat Mahomes fan, Patrick Mahomes fan, Ubon. If you look at Patrick Mahomes,
DP, let's get that straight.
Well, I'm just saying, I know you're a fan of Patrick Mahomes.
I'm a fan of the black man, because I'm a black man.
Okay, do you?
So fuck Tom Brady every day.
So what? However you want to slice it, you're a fan of the black man, fuck Tom Brady, whatever. I'm not going to play semantics, all that back and forth, none of that shit. However you want to package it, it's all good. So I will say this. You had an argument for Patrick Mahomes being the clear MVP of the Super Bowl that he won. He also had a shitty first half, maybe first three quarters, and he came on and turned it on late. But what are you to say about him if you're giving him the credit and saying he was the MVP of that game when that's damn near the same thing or the same scenario you're dropping down where Tom Brady stunk or whatever for the first half, and then he also came on late in that game against Atlanta? That's like the almost the same type of scenario.
Absolutely. And I said that I believe that because Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback of the team, he deserves the MVP, but there are two or three other people that could easily walk away with that MVP. I wasn't married to Patrick Mahomes getting the MVP. But what I will say is this. I'm not a fan of the fandom of Tom Brady. And I'm okay with that if that's not in the popular, you know, if that's not in the popular belief. And I'm okay with being on an island and standing on my island when I say that shit.
No, I'm actually with you.
You know,
because I'm not a fan of it either.
And again, I don't want to overkill it. Congrats.
Oh, y'all done stabbed it, woke it back up, slid it again.
Oh, yeah.
Punched it, of course. Nigga out.
Of course. And again, like I said, congratulations to all the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for winning the Super Bowl. Congratulations to the two Eagles, the two North Carolina Central University Eagles that actually won a Super Bowl. That's huge for the squad. You know, I'm an Eagle through and through, and now that'll never change. So I respect that, and I congratulate these young men that did their thing. But at the end of the day, until we get a league where we get, you know, some unilateral justice, where we get our black men in head coaching positions, when we get our black quarterbacks credit for the things that they do in the league, and they get more opportunities, I won't be happy. And that's just what it is. Tom Brady may be great because, you know, he's a white guy in a black man's sport that has dominated for 20 years based on, you know, Super Bowl wins and Super Bowl appearances. I'm just not buying it. And I'm sorry. If you don't agree with that, by all means, I'll give you my number. I'll give you my email. Hit me up. I'll argue that shit because the facts don't back it up. And it's not like I'm just a, you know, if he ain't black, it, you know, if it ain't black is whack type situation. I'm a fan of Peyton Manning. To me, the best quarterback of all time that I've seen with my eyes is Peyton Manning. Based on statistics, the best quarterback of all time, Joe Montana. I didn't see him play that much when I was coming up. When I was coming up, it was Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. Peyton Manning was the better quarterback. Tom Brady had the better system behind him. If you put Peyton Manning in New England, I am almost certain Peyton Manning in New England, he'd have 10 Super Bowls. But again.
But hey, as the great philosopher Ubong says, Bong says, we don't speak in ifs.
No, we don't.
So I don't want to hear that shit about if Peyton Manning. No, I'm fucking with you. That's just the card you pulled, but I actually agree with you.
No,
I actually agree that if Peyton Manning was on that, if he was on that squad, just based on his, you know, his resume and his body of work, you could draw that conclusion. There's a strong argument for that. So I don't disagree with that.
Yeah. So again, at the end of the day, congratulations.
Yeah. Through all that, though, I just wanted to highlight the shit about the black folks in the game. You know what I mean? Like, the bigger picture to me sitting back watching this shit was like, okay, you know.
But again, DP, them niggas ain't getting jobs.
No. You're missing what I'm saying. I wanted to highlight the fact that is exactly the case. They ain't getting jobs. That's what I've been trying to say this whole episode, is that it is a fucking shame. And for me to sit back and I look at all these people involved in this situation and you telling me not one of them is qualified for a job, but you want to hit me with the, you know, the we shall overcome vibe to build up to the game. Like, that's kind of one of the things I wanted to point out with the whole shit. So
yeah, you know, it's been Andy Reid's offense, but you know, in the week that they scored 9 points, somehow I look for the stories to come out about how Eric Bieniemy called a terrible game at, you know, Kansas City's no point.
They'll find a way.
But all that aside, what did y'all think about my man the weekend in the halftime?
I wasn't feeling that shit.
Kev?
Man, I'm mad, man. I missed the whole damn halftime because the family decided to order some damn wings. And the shit wasn't ready when I went to pick it up. So what was going to be a quick turnaround, I get there, you know, 10, 15 minutes, get it and come back. Man, I ended up missing like damn near half the third quarter. Waiting on them nasty ass wings.
Wow. He was feeling that weekend performance, Ubon.
I'll say this: you know, the weekend has always had a connection with that movie, The Fear of Loathing in Las Vegas. And you know, so it's a real. He has a real psychedelic vibe. Obviously, he doesn't mince words about the fact that he used to do drugs. You know, heavy drugs, cocaine, and you know, probably. Various other drugs, but you know, so when he came out and he did his halftime show, there was a psychedelic vibe, you know, and I was watching the game with my baby brother, and I told him like, yo, this got the, you know, this got me, you know, this is like a like the mushrooms, like he, you know, like somebody just took some shrooms or was on some on an acid trip, like, you know, this got the vibes of that, like he went to the gold room. Where right. You know, you got mirrors off of shit. But again, as an artist, I respect that. And you know, whatever he was going for. So, you know, I was entertained by the halftime show. You know, my wife is a huge The Weeknd fan, and you know, she was entertained by the show. And the fact, one of the very most underrated facts about the halftime show. I can't remember if, you know, when he was in that gold room, if all the people were black, but when he came out into like on, he was on the field and a majority of the time when he was singing and the background singers were singing with him, all those people were black. He had all black performers on the stage with him. That's one of the underrated and undersold pieces of the halftime show. And the fact that Jay-Z, remember Jay-Z got into some kind of a partnership with the NFL where he controls Super Bowl halftime shows. And I think that's where you see the influence of a Jay-Z and, you know, how he had that effect on it, because there were a lot of black people. There were a lot of black faces when The Weeknd was performing his halftime show. And that's going to go unspoken because, you know, it's not a sexy topic, but he had a lot of black faces up there that were performing with him, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's a good catch, because I definitely wasn't paying attention to that. I mean, I wasn't really feeling the whole halftime situation anyway.
You know,
so
hey, DP, you know I'm a black man. You know, hey, I'm catching all that shit. I don't give a fuck, man.
Last I checked, I was black too, and I just still didn't give a fuck about the halftime. I was just like. It wasn't no knock on what he was putting together. I just kind of heard. I heard the music, and then I looked up. I saw him with the mirrors and shit, and I was like, I start doing something else. So
yeah, nah. The missus is a huge The Weeknd fan, and I had to tune in. So it was a great halftime show. I appreciate it for what it was, and I appreciate the fact that he had a lot of black people with him performing.
I do want to go on record and say that the Kansas City Chiefs will win the Super Bowl next year. So throwing that out there now.
Man, that's not a hard prediction. We just said last episode, like, there's really no strong challengers for Kansas City, especially in the AFC. Like, what did we say? Buffalo? And they had handled them. Like, they're going to be going back for years to come.
You know why? Kansas City will win the Super Bowl next year because the storyline of Tom Brady being able to win without Belichick won't be a storyline anymore. It's kind of like Russell Westbrook and that triple-double, right? He goes from averaging a triple-double the first year. And wow, we haven't seen this since
Oscar Robertson.
He has got to be the MVP. The next year, he went and did it again, and he didn't get any, or he got a few MVP votes.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a great story. So the NFL is going to get behind it for Brady. Brady became the top-selling jersey between the week that he beat Green Bay and the day of the Super Bowl. But next year is not going to have the same cachet, because guess what? The Super Bowl isn't going to be in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay won't be a team that hasn't won a Super Bowl in, you know, since 2002. It hasn't been to the playoffs since 2007. Super Bowl is going to be in LA. So it's a different storyline, and they're going to build that shit on something else. But Brady won't be there. He going to get his ass whooped and walloped all night.
I was about to say Brady going to go out as a rag doll for his last year of his career.
Straight up and down. But again, you know, it's, hey, I'm happy for a lot of the outcasts, a lot of the guys that they said will never get a ring. Leonard Fournette, Antonio Brown, and Ndamukong Suh, Antoine Whitfield Jr. You know, the fact that he talked about how his dad never got a chance to play in a Super Bowl when he played with Minnesota, and the fact that he's going to win the Super Bowl for the family. I appreciate seeing shit like that. I'm happy, but I'm just saddened by the fact that Brady will get a majority of the credit as being the GOAT and what he did, you know, as opposed to like giving credit where credit was due. Like, hey, this was a hellacious defense. And Ndamukong Suh, Shaq Barrett, Lavonte
Davis. He was all over the place.
Like, it was a bunch of guys that was all over the place,
yeah,
against,
yes,
Patrick Mahomes.
Him and White, man, their linebackers, you know, are, man.
They just had... It was too much going on, and Patrick Mahomes could not get over that. And I think all that is going to get overlooked at, you know, because we're giving Brady his lifetime achievement award. So, hey, shouts out to Tom Brady. I'll tell you that right now. If I meet that motherfucker, I'll tell him the same shit to his face. I don't fuck with you. You're a scrub. Fucking scrub. But guess what? You can scrub. Listen. Situational, you are a game manager. You are what Alex Smith prays he could have been. You're just a better Alex Smith. I'm not giving you credit for that, homie. You won a majority of your, you won six Super Bowls with top five defenses in New England. You come to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay had the best defense in the playoffs, hands down. There was no debate. There's no second team. There's no, hey, a 1A and a 1B. There was no team that was as good as Tampa Bay. They had the most takeaways coming into the Super Bowl. They had the most sacks coming into the Super Bowl. You had all that at your back. You didn't have to worry about a defense that couldn't hold up on their end, and you had to do everything by yourself, because if it came down to it, I don't think you could have done that. You didn't even average 300 yards in the playoffs. There were games where you had 200 yards passing. I'm not giving you credit for being the GOAT because you can throw for 200 yards in the NFL football game. Fuck that. So fuck Brady. And by default, fuck Tampa Bay. And if a nigga got a problem with that, come see me. Two peas in a bong, nigga. Hey, DP, I have my death row moment. Hey. East Coast, I got love for Snoop Dogg, nigga. What you talking about?
We know where the fuck we at.
Bomb is wild.
Oh, shit. Hey, I was about to say something else, but fuck that shit. What's up, folks? We appreciate y'all tuning in. Don't forget to follow us on IG, Facebook, and Twitter at 2PsInABong. That is the number 2, WOPEEZANDABONG, 2PsInABong. You can catch our show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor, and more. And we're now on the One United Radio Network. You can find that at OneUnitedRadio.com. Again, we appreciate y'all rocking with us. We'll catch you on the next one.